Today is our homecoming. If you think about it more than a little, that's kind of funny. I mean, homecoming is really something that schools do, especially schools with football teams. Where I grew up, homecoming was a weekend in the fall that all of the alumni were supposed to come back to school to watch a home game. And I am pretty sure it was all invented because getting people to come to an outdoor athletic event on a Friday evening in November was a little bit of a hard sell in Michigan. So I'm pretty sure it was all invented in the interest of getting people to come. And I've noticed that this idea has sort of spread to a lot of churches, not just us. Just driving around over the past couple of weeks, I've noticed lots of signs and banners like ours in front of churches. Homecoming this weekend. I think the idea is pretty much the same. It is the church's gentle way of reminding you that summer is over and your children are back at school. And I know that you're probably not on vacation. And so it's time to return to the good habit of coming to church on Sunday morning. Yes, every week, yes. So here we are, and it is good that we are here because we have an important year ahead of us. I have now been in this pulpit for 3 years, and it is time for us to begin reflecting together on the ministry we have shared here over these years and how significantly it has changed over these years from the way it used to be and where God is calling us next. So, yes, this is in part a conversation about whether we should keep me as the rector. But it is also a conversation about what it means to be a rector at St. John's now. What it means to be a member and a fellow minister in this parish. What sort of ministry we are creating here. And what response we are making to God's call to us. God's challenge to us to do holy things here. I have been a member of this parish for a long, long time. Before I ever became a priest here. And so I feel more than a little bit of an investment in this conversation. I love this parish. It has taught me all that I know about Christian community. So I have a part of the work that we now must do in considering our future. I want to offer some ideas about how we might build from where we are to where we might be, how we might reflect on the things that we are good at, the gifts that God has uniquely given us, and build from them our path into a new chapter of the story of St. John's. So I'm going to give one sermon during each of the months of the fall on the basic theme of what our future might look like together. And my hope in doing this is that I might offer these thoughts to you here where most of us gather, and in such a way that folks who miss one might hear another. Basically, I'm going to surround you with these messages during the fall. So here goes. This morning, I'm going a little bit backward in order to go forward. I'm going to go back to last week for the text on which I want to preach, a verse from the Epistle of James that we all heard last week and that the ushers have kindly reminded you of on the little green sheet. And I want to focus on this hinge in the story, this line, "You do well if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is a part of the letter that is a pretty pointed criticism of whatever church it is James is writing to. What's happening there in that place is that some of the people who come in the door are being given the best seats, and some are being asked to sit on the floor in the back. Some people are welcomed, and some people, to put it bluntly, are not. And that would be like pretty much every other place on the planet, right? That is how we humans do things. We make groups, we gather together, and just about automatically, we establish ranks among ourselves. We create distinctions within our groups almost from the first moment we set foot on the playground. Some people are in, some people are out, and that is just the way it is. And we turn out to be very good at justifying the distinctions we make. We have opinions, sometimes very well thought out positions on why those others, whoever they are, deserve the less favorable treatment we give them. God knows this about us. After all, God made us. And God understands how we are wired. And God knows that this thing about us is both a virtue and a vice. It helps us to make the kinds of social bonds that allow us to get together to accomplish great things. But it keeps us divided from each other, too. James sees this as the thing that is meant to set Christians and the churches they create apart from every other sort of human organization. What is supposed to distinguish us is that we make no distinctions. This isn't just a neat thing to make us different, like having a special sort of club tie. It comes from something James wants us to understand about the Christian faith itself, something that is perhaps the single most important claim we make as Christians about what has been revealed to us about the truth of humankind. And that claim is this: in the eyes of God, we are all profoundly, totally, absolutely equal. The distinctions we draw among ourselves, distinctions of wealth or education or race or ethnicity or religion or language or whatever they are meaningless to God. In God's eyes, we are all equally fallen and equally precious and equally worth saving. All by itself. That is the single most radical claim of the Christian faith. It is a claim with profound significance for history. You will never find me arguing that America is a Christian nation. But it is possible to draw a line from this fundamental claim of the Christian faith to the rise of the idea of democratic government and individual rights and equal justice under law. And it is just possible, I think, to argue that the farther we get away from that basic Christian idea, the more we find ourselves sucked into a culture of celebrity and economism and vast discrepancies of wealth that would have been embarrassing to our grandparents as seeming somehow normal. Okay, so what does any of this have to do with us? Well, I'll tell you. I think this is something we do well in this parish. Not perfect, but well. Usually very well. I think we are a place that welcomes people as equals. I think we are a place that welcomes people, period. And I have some evidence for this. For one thing, I have my own evidence. 28 years and 2 weeks ago, Judy and I showed up here for the first time, and John Evans gave me a hot dog. We were a lot younger and a lot poorer, and frankly, we were just not all that interesting. But this place took us in. When you have been around a place that long, friends, there is no way of avoiding one simple fact. People are going to see you in pretty much every state you are capable of experiencing, and not all of them are going to be moments of glory. And that has certainly been true in my case. This community of people has seen me at my best and at my worst, and at every point in between. And I have known some of you long enough to know that I am not alone in this, am I? And yet, I always knew I could return. I always knew I would be accepted. Maybe challenged, maybe queried, but accepted. I hope you have that experience of this place. I know we have not always gotten it right. I know that from time to time we have seemed to run a little low on this grace. But sort of like the water that keeps welling up from under the basement, that spiritual gift that God has endowed this community with of acceptance and welcome always seems to replenish itself by the grace of God. That is a precious gift. Precious thing. We might wish we had more people or more money or more parking or whatever, but I would trade all of those things for the quality of welcoming, because you will not find it in every place that calls itself a church. And it is the true mark of Christian community, a place that is taking seriously trying to follow and witness to the love of Jesus Christ. I do not care, and I am not concerned, whether people come to know us as an Episcopal church. I said it. I am very concerned that they come to know us as a welcoming church, because that will mean we are following the call of a Christian community, and the rest is details. Now, we know that the general view held of the church, any church, by people who are outside the church, is that it is not welcoming, that it is judgmental, that it is exclusivist, that it is intolerant. We know they will not find that here, but in order not to find that here, they first have to come here. But here is what we have going in our favor. There are so few places in the world that are truly welcoming. People long for a place to know real community, and we already are that kind of place. So I know it's hard. I know it's hard to ask people to come with you to church. I know it feels like you're invading their privacy or their conscience, or violating some sort of unspoken barrier about polite company. But maybe if we approached it differently, maybe if we simply asked people, do you have a group of people who make you feel welcome? Are you part of a community? Would you like to be? Because I am. I have found one. And it is the gift God has given us here. We are a community of welcome. We are the most welcoming place in our place. Everyone has a place here, no matter who they are, no matter what they might think they know about churches. Here they will find community, a community of equals. This is the thing about mutual ministry. We are far more equal than we used to be, you and I, priest and people, ordained and not ordained. We are far more equal now than we have been in our previous ways of doing church. We are a community of fellow ministers. And we are called into a future in which we respond to God's invitation to us to help others find that same invitation here. Amen.